the opinions you love, the history you crave. This is Rant DM Radio.
Hey everyone, week one of the Lex podcast is finally here, as if you had been anticipating it. This is the pilot edition of the Lex podcast, so it's going to be a bit experimental today. Not that you're expecting anything anyway, because you've never heard the Lex podcast before, but today we're going to be talking about the WWE Network. We're going to be talking about CM Punk and Daniel Bryan. We're going to be talking some video games with The Last of Us and a potential Last of Us movie. And we're going to be answering your questions. I might even throw in a little extra bit with some stuff that Lee and I recorded a couple months back. So, yeah, hopefully you like it, but your feedback is very important to this podcast and whether or not it goes forward, because again, this is a pilot episode of the Lex podcast. If it does go forward, I'm looking to bring some more people in, interview some people, have some people on just to bullshit about whatever. But I do want to say go to rantemradio.com. rantemradio.com is about everything from wrestling to video games to music to movies to comics, graphic novels, etc., etc. So go to rantemradio.com, support them. This podcast will be housed right there at rantemradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @_lexicon. Please send your feedback to that Twitter account. Again, @_lexicon. Hey everyone, welcome in. My name is Lexicon. A lot of you know who I am, some of you don't. If you don't, that's fine. Hopefully you'll get to know who I am through these series of podcasts. I've been podcasting for a very long time now. I started back in 2007. I did a show with AA, the owner and proprietor, I guess, of rantemradio.com. And I've been in and out. I did another show, another podcast with Lee Champion, who's a good friend of mine. A lot of you know Lee. But I just decided, you know what, I want to get back on it. I don't know how. You know, I've toyed with the idea of doing a live show again, but at the same time, you know, having a partner there to help you is good. And at the moment, I can't find a partner who can be there every week, let alone myself be there every week. So I'm doing this recorded podcast for now to see where this takes me. Eventually, I might do a live show where I have a different guest in each week. That would be kind of cool. But for now, we're just doing this. It's just me here in my office in my home, and I'm coming to you live from Northern California, Red Bluff to be exact. I know nobody knows where that is, but we're kind of off the grid here in Northern California, and that's I like it that way, to be quite honest with you. So the WWE Network launched this past, I guess it's been a few weeks now. Launched on the 24th of February, and it didn't launch without its troubles, that's for sure. The first day, even to sign up for the thing, I had a lot of issues. I know a lot of you had a lot of issues as well. Just being able to pay for the service, not to mention it not working that first day. The live stream that they have on has been pretty good. At times it'll kick back maybe 3 seconds, or sometimes it'll stop. For the most part, the live stream has been pretty good, and the programming on the live stream has been kind of hit or miss. It just kind of depends on what you're into. A lot of people are going to buy the network, and not everybody's going to have the same interests, the same likes. Someone might be buying the network because of all the current stuff that's on there. The backstage pass, the pre-shows, the pay-per-views, so on and so forth. But over here, this guy over here might, and really I'm more of this guy over here, even though I kind of cherry pick on the things I watch. But I'm this guy over here who bought the network for all the vault. Talking about the WCW pay-per-views, the ECW pay-per-views, hell, even the WWE pay-per-views going back to WWF. And hopefully they'll put more of the TV stuff on there soon. One of the big reasons I bought the WWE Network was to watch ECW TV, because here on the West Coast, especially Northern California, you didn't see ECW TV until it went on TNN. And so at that point, it becomes a thing of, well, they don't have this on here. They said they were going to have it on here, but they have so much other content that I can't really complain, can I? Well, I want to say that the network, I think, is a good thing overall, and you can like the network and still give it criticism at the same time. The fact that it's not uniform across all platforms is kind of odd. There are some things on the iPhone that aren't on the PS4 or the Roku or vice versa. The Xbox 360 app apparently has not been working, and there's some content that you can't watch on there, which is all kind of weird. Why they wouldn't have uniformity over all platforms is kind of mind-boggling to me, but they don't. So that's one thing they'll probably have to work towards. Also, some features are not the same. I guess I forgot which device it was on. I think it was Roku that has it all chronologically organized. So you can just go through and say, oh, next event, that's the next event, depending on what it is. With PS4, that's not the case. While it is chronological in the sense of you can go to 1996 and pick which event you want, it's not quite the same. So I can't go from a WCW pay-per-view to a WWF pay-per-view in the same menu. I have to kick back out and go out. Another thing they don't have on the PS4, which is what I use WWE Network on the most, sometimes on PS3 and sometimes on my laptop, they don't have a resume option, which really sucks. Although they've started to add in little chapter marks, so you can go to certain matches or certain big moments in the match, which is really cool. It's not the same as resume, though, which I really do hope they get in there eventually. They've been adding the chapters in pretty quickly. I'm a little surprised about that, to be quite honest with you. They're moving fast on this, and the most important thing is how you react to the situation at hand. And WWE has acted promptly, for the most part, with everything that has been reported as some sort of malfunction, or they're basically making fans happy. So overall, I enjoy the network. I'm going through right now, and I started at Bash at the Beach 96, where the wrestling world kind of took a turn, and that's really a little bit before I started watching wrestling, so I'm kind of going back there, catching all the pay-per-views that I missed, because as a kid, I didn't get pay-per-views. The first pay-per-view I ever got was WrestleMania 17, and before that, pay-per-view was just out of the question. I don't even know if we had the ability to buy pay-per-view at the time. Maybe I did. I just never came up with my parents, so, you know, and I was maybe 11, 12 at the time. So it's cool to go back and see the pay-per-views that you missed and see the matches you missed. And really, the WWE Network, I think, is great because of that, because of all the fans that didn't see what happened before. Not that you have to like all the old stuff. Certainly, there's a lot of bad old stuff. But you go back and you watch it and you tell the difference and you learn more about wrestling and you learn more about different styles. Maybe, you know, lethargic wrestlers aren't your thing, but you learn to understand and respect certain styles like that. Like two big guys going at it, you say, well, that's automatically a bad match. But no, how did they work the match? You know, really look at it and really see what exactly it is that they're doing. And, you know, form your own opinion on things. So WWE Network in all is great. I'm so glad they didn't go to a cable network. I think that would have been the death of the WWE Network. Not the WWE itself, but the WWE Network probably would not have been sustainable on cable. The internet route is good because if we don't like the live stream, which has happened a few times to me, I don't like what's going on the live stream, so I go download or watch something else in the vault or whatever, and you're not forced to watch what WWE puts on, which is a big deal about cable. Is sure, you get some live shows, like, you know, for example, The Walking Dead. You'll get to see The Walking Dead, you know, when it airs, no hassles, whatever. You don't have cable, you either have to wait till it comes on Netflix or out on DVD, or you have to find alternative methods to watching it. And sometimes those alternative methods are just a pain in the ass. So the way WWE has put it on the internet, anybody with internet can have it. You don't have to buy a $70, $80 subscription to cable. In some cases, I know people who pay nearly $200 for their cable, which is insane. You know, and that's just a contract that I personally don't want to be involved with. So this deal with the WWE Network, even though it's a 6-month commitment, it's only $10 a month. They don't ask for it up front. So I'm paying $60 for the WWE Network right now. I paid $80 a month before to get Dish Network, and I didn't get the WWE pay-per-views. All I got was Raw, SmackDown, and whatever else sci-fi or ION or whoever else airs those extra shows. That's all I got. And with this, it offers a great amount of value. I don't think anybody can argue the value of the WWE Network. And certainly, maybe some people thought, okay, I'll get the WWE Network, and it's just not worth it in the sense of, oh, they edited this out, they edited that out. But even then, it's a very small, small percentage of people. So WWE should do very well with the WWE Network, and that's my take on it. I'll be watching it for quite some time and probably renew it after my 6 month is done here. From one WWE topic to the next, we're talking about CM Punk now. And CM Punk left the WWE. He quit. As far as we know, it's not a work. A lot of people think it is a work. And that's another topic all into itself, a work or not a work, or what wrestling fans think. It's weird because a lot of people are so determined not to get worked by the WWE that their guard is up all the time. So if something happens, it's a work. It's always a work, you know. And I'm of the opinion that, no, this is not a work. But it doesn't matter. If it's a work or not, it doesn't matter to me. And really, it shouldn't matter to you. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen. CM Punk walks out at WrestleMania, he's going to do it. If he doesn't, that's what happens. It wasn't a work. And we move on. But since we're here and we're stuck on it, we're talking about it. And the funny thing is, with the CM Punk thing, it was all that anybody could talk about over the last few weeks. And then Raw happened in Chicago. He did not come out. He was spotted backstage, apparently, allegedly. There are photos online of him in the backstage area with Paul Heyman and AJ Lee, and I don't know if those pictures are recent or not, so I can't really comment on those. But let's think about this for a second. People who were, in a sense, disappointed by CM Punk not returning to Raw, a lot of them are saying he's a baby. Why do you leave? You know, just you committed to a contract. Do your job. And I get that. I understand that. And I agree to some sense. But listen, CM Punk signed a contract under very, very interesting terms. Okay? He was supposed to leave. He was supposed to go. He was telling everybody he was done. And something, I don't know what, me personally, I don't know what, you know, got him to stay. I don't know what was in his contract. And I doubt we'll ever find out what was in his contract. But he got the cover of a video game, he was featured on pay-per-views, and so on and so forth. It was obvious that he got a long title reign. It was obvious that they were doing stuff to keep him happy. but obviously he wasn't happy enough. Now you got to wonder, what was it? What was it that made him leave and say, I'm done? I don't think it was one thing in particular, but I think the last straw was the fact that Batista won the Royal Rumble. I mean, you think about it. If you're CM Punk and you're very high on yourself, you know, he has a high opinion of himself, and why shouldn't he? Right? Do I believe he's the best wrestler in the world? Absolutely not. At no point did I believe he was the best wrestler in the world. From a technical standpoint, at least. Certainly, at one point, he was the most over wrestler in the world. But when you go back to the Royal Rumble, he was the number one entrant. He lasted for quite some time, so that if you're one of the first two that are in there, chances are you're going to be there for a while. Those are usually the guys that put in the most work, the good workers, the guys that have the stamina to go. CM Punk won a very long time. I mean, he basically held that Rumble on his shoulders, which was probably one of the least eventful Royal Rumbles in recent memory when it comes to surprise appearances and spots and so on and so forth. But he held the Rumble on his back. Daniel Bryan is getting chants right and left. It's obvious that Punk is probably in Daniel Bryan's corner. So if Daniel Bryan doesn't get the spot that it's obvious he deserves, look, it's one thing for you to relate to it on a fan level, but think about it as a job, okay? Maybe you don't sign a contract to do a job. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't sign a contract to be there for however. I mean, think about it. When you get a job, it's not like you're signing a contract, oh, I'll be here 2 to 3 years, right? You sign a contract, and it's assumed that you're going to be there for the rest of your life or until you retire. You know that's not the case, more than likely, especially if it's a job where it's, you know, a passing through thing where, okay, I'm just going to get this job to get by to find something better. Well, CM Punk signed this contract, right? So it's a little bit different. But if you sign a contract expecting to be a main eventer throughout this contract, and here it is, 6 months before your contract ends, and they're kind of giving you the shaft, I mean, what are you going to think, right? What are you going to think about it? You're going to think, well, oh, they're just kind of, you know, sweeping me under the rug because my contract's running up. So why should I be here? If I'm not going to be at the top where I think I belong, if they're not going to put other people that it's blatantly obvious they belong at the top, and instead bring in guys like Batista and bring in guys like, you know, before this, The Rock obviously was one of the last straws for him to do his, you know, his whole promo and his work promo and do that whole thing. It's obvious that he doesn't like when people do that. Now, he said Dave Batista is a friend, but he also doesn't like people coming in and taking the spotlight away from guys who deserve it, a.k.a. Daniel Bryan. And I don't care who you are. It's a creative thing, all right? It's not that Daniel Bryan hasn't earned it, because he has. I mean, I don't understand in any aspect how he hasn't earned a top spot. He's over, which is the most important thing. He's paid his dues, especially in WWE, where they did everything they could to put him down and to make him look stupid. And then when they finally are like, okay, well, this guy's got some potential, and they start booking him, oh, let's give him the championship. What did they do then? They book him against nothing but big guys. Mark Henry and The Big Show and all these guys that for most people would be impossible to put on a good match, but he still put on entertaining matches with these guys. And that's not dissing Mark Henry or The Big Show, because they've got a lot of knowledge themselves, and obviously it's not a one-man thing. They help put those matches together also. And then they make Daniel Bryan lose in 18 seconds at WrestleMania 28 to Sheamus. in the first match of the show. Now, some of you might be saying, well, that's not disrespectful. He got on WrestleMania. He got a WrestleMania payday. He was a champion, blah, blah, blah. Well, let's see Triple H do something like that, huh? Let's see The Rock do something like that. Let's see Batista do something like that. They wouldn't do it to these guys. They would not do it to these guys. And that's evidence right there that it's disrespectful. But let's move on. Let's move forward. So we go along, and Brian's getting over and over and over, and his Yes Chan is over. And they put him in a team with Kane, which a lot of people enjoyed. Great. He got that over too. But that was a comedy gig. And as much as I like Kane, as much as I think Kane is a good worker, and as much as I think Kane is one of the best big men in the business ever, there's some point where you have to understand that Kane's not going to give Daniel Bryan his big moment. And when I say big moment, the only moment that can be is WrestleMania. You cannot make a guy anywhere else into a megastar than WrestleMania. And the reason that is because WrestleMania shows that the WWE has faith in whatever guy. And I guarantee you this, one of the biggest problems in WWE right now is their back is not against the wall. Years ago, when Stone Cold Steve Austin became a megastar, his back was against the wall, and the WWE's back was against the wall. And he started getting over, and they didn't like that. This is well documented. They didn't like that. They didn't like that image, getting over. But at some point, he's selling t-shirts, and the crowd are bringing signs, and they're chanting his name, and they're chanting his catchphrases. And they pulled the trigger because they had to. The WCW had WWF dead to rights. And the only way the WWF, the only thing they could do was try Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it hit huge. Because you had the right guy at the right moment in time, and you had the WWF putting everything they had behind him. They brought out Vince McMahon as a character. All right? That was huge. So, the same with The Rock. You know, you just keep it rolling. And you got Austin, who's already been made into a superstar. He's already got the crowd going. He's already started this new attitude era. You got DX coming in. And DX is doing this too. And so now this whole attitude is developing. And while it may not have been the best era in the world, it made a whole lot of money. And that's the bottom line, you know, to steal Stone Cold's gimmick. That's the bottom line, is money. And WWE wants to make money. But it seems right now, it's not like they're desperate to make money right now. So they don't need to push Daniel Bryan. And I hear all these guys like JR and Stone Cold, and I love JR and Stone Cold as performers. And I respect what they had to say because they know an infinite amount more than I do about professional wrestling. But when you think about it, when they're on a podcast, and by the way, podcasts seem to be blowing up. You know, 2007, did I ever think that JR would have his own podcast? Yeah, probably not. Maybe his own radio show, but probably wouldn't stoop to podcasting. And now everyone's got a podcast. But anyway, Stone Cold and JR are on the podcast, and they're talking about how, you know, Vince McMahon is a smart man, and I'd like to think this is just a slow burn thing, and they wouldn't purposely be, you know, turning away money and this and that. To me, as a fan, that's what it looks like. And when that's what it looks like, when you're turning down my money because I want to pay to see someone like Daniel Bryan succeed, that's a slap in the face. It's offensive. Do I have a right as a wrestling fan to be offended by someone entertaining me? I think so. Why not? You know, is that being too entitled? Maybe. But let's think about the WWF, the WWE. We put our heart and our emotional investment into the WWF as kids, and it's hard to stop watching the WWE because of that. So many people are still watching WWE just because they watched it as a kid. Just because anything can happen and anything could pop up to make the show better at any point. So they sit through some of the worst stuff we've ever seen in the wrestling business, especially when you talk about the guest host era. And we sit through Vince McMahon trying to make his company, a movie production company and an entertainment brand. And we put up with all of that because all we want is wrestling. And we want moments. We want wrestling and moments that happen inside the ring to make that wrestling better. And instead, we get a lot of goofy stuff. And some people have adapted and adjusted, and they like the goofy stuff. And that's more than fine. But if they want to make more money and they want to get more viewers, there's certain things that you just have to put up with if you're WWE. And if that means a guy who's 5'8", 5'9", being the champion at WrestleMania, winning the championship at WrestleMania, I don't care what you do with Daniel Bryan after he wins the championship. Turn him heel and make him the cockiest guy in the world. Book him against big guys. Who cares? It's all about the WrestleMania moment. Because we won't remember the night after WrestleMania. We remember WrestleMania. We remember what happens then and there. And if Daniel Bryan wins the world championship because he won the Royal Rumble, because that's the key, because he won the Royal Rumble and then goes on to WrestleMania and wins the championship, that's a huge moment. If they stick Daniel Bryan in because finally they've just given up and said, okay, fine, fans can have what they want, we'll put him in a three-way with Orton, Batista, and he wins the championship, it's not the same. And it's not going to make him, and they're going to point to that and they're going to say, see, we wasted it. And they're going to blame that on us. Us being the internet wrestling community. And by the way, if you say a word about wrestling on the internet, using the internet, you are a part of the internet wrestling community. And I hate that label so much. It's just like grouping the internet into one person. It's the worst idea you can do. But anyway, digressing here. So CM Punk doesn't come back, and I support him 100% for not coming back. Because I think it is important to occasionally stand up for what you believe in, and if that means walking out on money that you really don't need anyway, because you've got plenty of it. Let's face it, he has more money than I'll ever make in my life, more than likely. If that means walking out on the WWE and some fans getting butt hurt because they can't see him in the WWE anymore, then so be it. But I think it says a lot about CM Punk and his character. Not his wrestling character, but his moral character. To be able to walk out on Vince McMahon. Not because he doesn't get paid enough. You know, he's not Ultimate Warrior holding him up at SummerSlam or whatever. It's because CM Punk does not like what's going on. And it's not that he doesn't like what's going on and this is the first time around. You know, he gave in that first time around. And to be quite honest with you, he looks like a jackass for doing it, in my opinion. He should have never come back in the first place. But he did, and he got a long championship reign, and certainly it wasn't going to top his work shoot promo on Raw, so a lot of people say, well, it wasn't even that good anyway. And here he is at the Royal Rumble, number one, and he does most of the heavy lifting, and Batista gets the WrestleMania shot. He's supposed to be a face, Batista, and the crowd is booing the hell out of him. And I'll tell you what, even if Daniel Bryan weren't in the equation, they'd boo Batista anyway, because Batista sucks. That's a matter of opinion, by the way. And I have a personal vendetta against Batista, because he flipped me off once while I was waiting in line to attend the live event a few years back. But That's the way I see it. Truth. That's just flat out truth right there. You know, I'm not sugarcoating anything. Batista sucks. And maybe it's not all 100% Batista's fault. You know, maybe it sounds a little bit harsh. But we don't want to see Batista right now. Oh, I don't want to see Batista right now. I can only speak for myself, I guess. But I'd say the boos mean that they don't want to see Batista. They turned him heel, which is very smart. But at some point in time, there's boos for, oh, you're a heel, and yeah, oh, you're such a bad guy. And then there's boos because, no, we don't want to see you. We don't think you add any value to this program. And maybe Batista proves us wrong, and who knows what we're going to see at WrestleMania 30. But to be quite honest with you, it's not looking good right now. And I don't see many fans that say that it do. Maybe some of the very, very optimistic people out there are saying, hey, well, this is not going to be so bad. But I'd say the majority of people, and maybe the majority of people are pessimistic, but it does look awful right now. And I'm glad that I'm getting it as a part of the WWE Network. I skipped out on 29 because I stopped watching WWE. I just couldn't take it anymore. It was too goofy for me and just not in my wheelhouse of interest. I understand that I'm not the only one to please. There are kids out there, so you do kind of sacrifice some of your older audience to appeal to some of the younger audience, and that's just a trade-off. But CM Punk, not in the WWE right now. Will he show up? I say no, but you never know in professional wrestling. All right, let's get into some video games now. A new story just came out, and I was tagged in it. The headline reads, Screen Gems to distribute Sam Raimi produced The Last of Us movie. If you haven't played The Last of Us, it was one of my top 10 games of last year. I think it was number 4, maybe number 2. See, I can't even remember my own list, so I guess it's kind of pointless. But bottom line, it was one of the best games out last year, and definitely one of the best games that I've ever played as far as a story is concerned. And it kind of shaped what a video game can be from an interactive storytelling standpoint. And I think, you know, my wife sat there and watched as I played it, and she was invested in the story and what was happening on screen. And I think we're seeing that with The Walking Dead from Telltale Games as well. So it's becoming more prevalent. But I'm not sure how I feel about taking those video games that already have a good story in the game and already told a good story and making them into video games. And the reason is because I don't see why a film would be better than the video game at this point. Now, I do understand that there are a lot of people out there that don't play video games, and I do understand that The Last of Us, the story, would probably translate well into today's society with the zombie craze that it is starting to die down, but that there is a zombie craze, and not that the things in The Last of Us are zombies per se, but post-apocalyptic mutants attacking and you have to survive and all that good stuff. So making a movie of it, even if it is Sam Raimi, I don't see the need for it. I've always kind of wanted a Fallout movie, and I see Fallout and The Last of Us as a different entity. And even The Walking Dead I put in the Fallout category, because The Last of Us is a very straightforward linear story that you go from point to point, and it has a story that it tells, and it's going to be the same for everyone. Fallout, you know, for the most part, I mean, the story is still the same for everyone. Everyone's going to experience the same main quest, and the same for The Walking Dead, excuse me. But the Fallout universe is just that. It's a universe. And there's so much out there that you can explore that you don't have to adapt the main script of the video game and Fallout 3 to a movie about Fallout. You could do a completely different script with different characters and different story arcs and make that into a movie and just slap the Fallout label on it. Not that I'd want just a Fallout label slapped on a you know, Book of Eli movie. But you can do that. The Walking Dead is the same way. It only covers one area. The show and the video game, the show covers Georgia, and the video game, it just expanded into the Carolinas, I believe. That's where it was, if I'm not mistaken. Which is an episode 1 of season 2. But there's so much out there that they haven't explored yet, which is the reason why, you know, making... And again, The Walking Dead is not a video game first. It was a comic book first, and then all these adaptations came out. So it's a little different in that sense. But when you look at The Last of Us, and you play The Last of Us, and you see, well, why the hell would they need to make this into a movie? It's practically a movie as is. My only guess would be to make money. Would Last of Us make money in the box office? I think that depends on who they attach to play the roles, to be quite honest with you. And there's many different ways they can go with The Last of Us. They can get a couple of very talented actors that maybe don't have as big of a name. I fear the way they'd go was they would try to get at least one big name actor for Ethan. Or for Ethan, for Joel. I want to say Ethan, but maybe Ethan Hawke for Joel. I don't know. Ethan Hawke has been doing some really cool stuff lately. But anyway, enough about Ethan Hawke. For Joel, for Ellie, you know, who knows? I know the first thing people are going to say is probably Ellen Page, because she can look like a teenager, and a lot of people say that the model is based off of her. I don't know about that, but... You know, maybe. I personally think Ashley Johnson, who did the voice of Ellie, who did a fantastic job, by the way. Maybe not. She might not look exactly like Ellie, but I think she would do a phenomenal job if given the opportunity. I don't think they can cast the guy who did Joel's voice in the movie, because he just does not look like Joel. I mean, maybe he could transform himself, build some muscle, and dye his hair, obviously, and get some more ruggedness, there we go, and makeup. But who knows? I mean, The Last of Us movie doesn't need to be made? That's the big question on my mind, is does it need to be made, and will I go see it? Will I go see The Last of Us if it gets made? I'm not a big fan of theaters. The theater experience has gone to hell. It never was really that great in the first place. There are some movies that you have to see in the theater. Like, I might go see Godzilla in the theater, because that's just where it needs to be seen. Big monster movies like Cloverfield, which I saw multiple times in the theaters because I really liked it. And of course, it was a monster movie, and you want that big screen experience. But the last movie I saw in theaters was the Lego movie. And the reason I saw it, even though, you know, I was kind of interested in myself, was because we took my son to watch it. Before that, it was the Cabin in the Woods. So, I mean, it hadn't been that long, multiple years. But at the same time, people just ruin a movie experience for me. If I go into a theater, I don't expect complete silence. But with smartphones, it's gotten a lot more difficult to wrangle people in. So when it comes to, like, lights flashing in your face when it's dark, or when it comes to someone talking on the phone because they think their call is very important, it kind of pisses me off. But that's not the only thing. Bringing kids to inappropriate movies bugs the hell out of me. people laughing at scenes that aren't supposed to be funny because they think they're funny. Like, you know those people that are like, oh man, I told you so, I knew it. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, you can't, that special effect was so bad. You know, shut up. Talk about that stuff after the movie's over with your friends outside. I don't want to hear it in the theater. I salute people who, like Surfer, who has a show on rantemradio.com, who can go to the theater regularly and put up with it, because I can't. It just bugs the hell out of me. I'd much rather wait for the movie to come out on DVD, grab it from Redbox, stick it in the PS3, and then have everything at home be nice and quiet. I can watch it after my son goes to bed, and boom, I'm happy. But the wait times sometimes for movies to come out on DVD is ridiculous, so I don't know about that. But The Last of Us as a movie, I'm not the most excited about it, but I am intrigued. Let's say that. Alright, it's time for a little Q&A here. Each week I'm going to be asking questions, or asking four questions, on Facebook, and my friends will rapidly throw them at me, and I will answer them as I get to them. I will start asking for questions on Twitter, so if you want to follow me, it's @the_lexicon. Just throw whatever question my way that you want. Any question at all about any topic, I'll answer it, whatever it is. There's nothing off limits. Anyway, so the first question is, better game to spend your money on this month, Infamous Second Son or Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes? For me, the problem is the price difference between these two. Second Son is going to be $60. Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes is going to be $30, I believe. And you're only going to get so much gameplay with Ground Zeroes, whereas Second Son is a full game. So it is a pretty interesting question. I mean, assuming you have the money to buy Second Son, I would buy Infamous. Because Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes is a prologue to Metal Gear Solid 5, and who knows when that's going to be out. So it's almost to the point where I'd wait on Ground Zeroes, grab Second Son, play through it, and then closer to Metal Gear Solid 5, when that comes out, grab both Ground Zeroes, which should be at a discounted price at that point, or you can even probably find it used for a cheaper price. Grab Ground Zeroes and Metal Gear Solid 5 and play them back to back. That's probably my best advice for that one. Next question is, when is your GameStop tell-all video going to be out? I don't know. I can't lie, I've been really enjoying not thinking about GameStop. For those of you that don't know, I worked for GameStop for 6 years, and I just quit this past November. I wasn't working very much, new manager, switchover, and I just didn't feel like dealing with all that. And I had to commute, and it just wasn't worth it. And I said I would be doing a GameStop video, kind of answering all the questions. I still intend to do that, and I still have all those questions that everybody asked. And thanks to everybody who sent those questions, because I got a lot of questions about GameStop. That would make sense, you know, for me to do that, because it's cathartic for me, but it's also informing for everybody else. And it's not the same at all GameStops, but at the same time, I can tell you my experience, and it's likely going to be similar to what your GameStop does. So one thing real quick, I'll give you this little tidbit here about GameStop employees, because I think this is kind of time sensitive. Basically, don't lump all GameStop employees together as the same person. Again, it's just like with wrestling, the internet wrestling community, or the internet in general. Don't lump everybody into one thing. It's a disaster. Yeah, there are dicks out there that work for GameStop that just, you know, they're the worst, the absolute worst. But that's them as a person. You know, that's not necessarily a product of GameStop. So, you know, just because someone's a dick to you at your local store doesn't mean we're all dicks. I was actually very friendly, very nice, and tried to help out anybody I could. Did I get annoyed? Yeah, I got annoyed a lot. And I'll talk about some of those customers, too. Some of the customers that think, you know, they think they know more than you do, which maybe they do, but they want to flaunt it. And that's the big problem. And you're just trying to help them get them out. It's just like waiting tables, you know. You got to turn people over. You got to get them out of the door because you don't want the store all crowded and everything. So, but I'll get into that in the video. I don't know when it's going to be. I can't say for sure. I don't want to tell you something and then have it not be. But I'm thinking one of these days. I actually just got some new batteries for my camera because the old rechargeable batteries were crapping out. So maybe soon. Maybe. We'll see. All right, next question is, which Saints Row game should be heralded as the ultimate game of radness? And the answer, or my answer on that one, is none of them. I do not like Saints Row. You know, I actually played the first one for a bit and was liking it for a bit. It was okay. But it never jumped out to me anything more than a crappier version of GTA. And usually I don't think that way about video games, but that's all I could think about with that. And then Saints Row the Third, God, just... I mean, I get it. I get that it's goofy, and I get that it's, you know, some people think it's funny and all that stuff, but I just can't take that stuff. I don't know. It bugs me for some reason. I don't like Saints Row. I'd much rather spend my time playing something else, so... next question. Has your opinion of the NBA changed as of yet? For those of you that didn't know, the NBA and me had a falling out. I watched the NBA for a little bit when I was a kid, up until about 2004, 2005, around there. And then I stopped watching it. I really like football, and that's what I want to spend most of my time and energy, you know, as it relates to sports. Thinking about basketball, to me, it's just not a game that I like to follow. I did try to follow it at the beginning of the season, and it didn't last very long. I bought NBA 2K14 on PS4 because it was getting great reviews, and that was one of my top 10 games of the year last year. And it made me like basketball maybe a little bit more. Maybe not. I guess the correct term would be hate it less. And it's just it's just kind of like the culture around basketball. It's not inviting to me for some reason. I honestly don't know exactly if I can point to one thing, but a lot of different things bug me. But they also have parallels to that in football, and it doesn't bug me as much. So I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe it's just because it's not that physical of a game. You know, I like baseball, but I don't watch baseball. I don't follow baseball for 162 games. I don't think I could. I don't think I have that in me to invest in, 162-game season or an 80-game season or whatever it may be. So my opinion of the NBA, has it changed? Yeah, I think I'm a little less harsh on the NBA. And certainly because when I listen to sports radio, you know, I'm driving around town, you know, I hear about it a lot. You hear about it all the time. So you can't help but know kind of what's going on. But I think it is a little silly when the biggest story is LeBron James wearing a different colored mask. So that's just my take on the NBA, I guess. Fallout 3, greatest game of all time or the greatest game of all time? The greatest game of all time. And it's, you know what, actually, it's probably between that and Earthbound for me. I'll split them into two. Fallout's the later gen greatest game of all time, and Earthbound's the earlier gen, I guess. You know what I'm trying to say. So, I love Fallout 3, though, and Fallout New Vegas. And I can't wait for Fallout 4. But apparently I have to because Bethesda keeps jerking us around. So anyway, so the person who asked me about the GameStop video and didn't think I was going to take it seriously has another question. Do you think that the resolution differences between Xbox One and PS4 makes that big of a difference, like people are claiming, or are they overreacting? They're overreacting. It's just ammunition to say my system's better than yours. There are some though that really do care about that, and I don't want to undersell them, but at the same time, I played on a standard def TV for a while. An HD console on a standard def TV for a while. It's not that big of a deal. You know, you still play the game. Sure, you can barely see the letters and everything on a standard def TV, but that's not like this, you know. I understand that some people want to get the best picture quality possible, especially if you're paying $500 for a new system, right? I mean, you could buy a PC graphics card for that and get the top-notch visuals, so I can see someone being picky about that, but at the same time, if you're going to buy a console, you got to expect something like this to happen. It's not a big deal to me, personally. But I have a PS4, so I don't... Apparently, I get perfectly fine resolution, so who knows. Who's sexier, Ryan Chambers or Brian Booker Jr.? You know what? I'm going to give this to Brian on this one, not Ryan. I'm going to give it to Brian because Brian does take care of himself. And he's got, you know, he posts those muscle shots on Facebook and everything like that. So I dig that. You know, if I were of that sexual orientation, you know, I'd probably go for Brian over Chambers. But Chambers is a wrestler, so, I mean, I might pose as a groupie for Chambers instead. But that's all the questions for today. Thanks to everybody who sent those questions in. It was a lot of fun answering them, and I can't wait till next week when we can answer some more pressing questions in the world. So thank you very much. And that's going to do it for this week, folks. Thank you very much for downloading, listening, whatever it is, however you caught this podcast. Thank you very much. And let me know if you like it. Again, I'm on Twitter at @the_lexicon. Shoot me a little tweet. Let me know that you listened. Let me know what you thought about it. And if you'd like to hear more of this, I enjoyed doing it. So I think I'm going to be back next time. We're going to get some other people on the podcast too. Going to do some interviews. We're going to talk more wrestling, we're going to talk more video games, some more movies, etc., etc. So, rantemradio.com, visit rantemradio.com, support rantemradio.com. What we're doing over there is fantastic. A lot of wrestling-focused stuff, but, you know, we've got other stuff as well. We've got comic book shows, and we've got other forms of media and entertainment covered on rantemradio.com. And yeah, that's gonna do it for me this week. So thank you very much again for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Until next time, see you later, folks.